So, if you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, where we're spending some time together in the Christian in complete armor. And if you remember last week, we talked about some things concerning Paul's encouragement to us that we had better be very, very prepared for the battle that the Lord has called us into. In verse 10, finally, my brethren, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the trickery or the methods or the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, because of all these things, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and really having put on, shod in your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And that's where we're at tonight. We pointed out to you last week that it's very critical what Paul was leading us to understand. And the very fact of the matter is, if you are a Christian and you are engaged in warfare in the spirit realm, you must be put on, so to speak, wrapped in, firmly engulfed in the shields and in the preparation of the gospel, in the faith, and all of the things that God has provided for us. And last week we looked, and recapping briefly, in verse 14, having girded your waist, past tense, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Once you are absolutely equipped with these essentials, then you are able to continue in where we are at tonight. Now that you have your waist girded about with holy, unadulterated doctrine of the Word of God, after that, your breastplate of righteousness is put on you. And that, remember, was the righteousness of practical righteousness, of living a life that is committed to the Lord. The Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, you can't earn your salvation, but it means be diligent about what you're putting on, about what you're doing with the tools and the utensils that God has given into your hand. And then the other righteousness, really, it's a combination, it's a lamination of that breastplate, was, of course, the righteousness that God has provided in Jesus Christ, his righteousness. In Luke chapter 21, verse 36, the Bible tells us that we ought to pray always that we would be found accounted worthy to escape all of the things that are coming upon the earth, to try all the men, and to stand before the Son of Man, Jesus. And that worthiness comes from the righteousness that God provides to us in Christ, in the gospel, in his shed blood. And then last time, the preparation of the gospel. Remember we talked about the Roman guard? Paul is in the prison there, writing to the church of Ephesus. There's a guard chained to him, possibly, in battle gear. And last week we talked about these incredible cleat-type sandals that he had, some inch thick or so of leather bound together, and then a small stake would be driven through and cinched up. And it would laminate, they would laminate those layers of leather together, making an incredible sandal. Because the enemies in the Palestinian area, when you would go into attack, they would have those barbs pointing upwards, minefields these days. And as the soldier began to advance in his attack, what good is all of the armor and all of the weaponry if your feet are bleeding? And you know, somebody said if you stub your toe or you break your toe, you know, you hurt all over. And it applies true to the Christian warrior. If he's out there in his little sandals dancing around, you know, with all of this incredible battle gear, and he stubs his toe, he's good for nothing. And so this sandal was an incredible thing. And remember also that when the soldier began to take his stance for battle, for war, his sandal had cleats on it, knobs that he would dig in. And as he began to hold up that shield and wield that sword, he would have a firm footing from which he could launch his attack against all the trickery and the wiles of the enemy. He was firm. And so, tonight, it says to us, above all these things, Paul now begins to reveal to us the most precious, the most awesome, really defensive tool that you have as a believer. I say defensive tool of the believer, and that is your faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Remember, Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." Beautiful promise by the Lord. David, the man of war who could not build the temple of God because his hands were too bloody from war. David, a man after God's own heart. David is recorded in the scriptures as saying, "Lord, give me mighty hands and strong fingers for battle. Strong. Equip me. Prepare me, Lord," David cries. And let's make this very, very clear before we go on any further, by the way. There's a tragic title on a book that you can see at Christian bookstores, and it's called "Between Christ and Satan" is the name of the book. And it really makes me uncomfortable because it makes you begin to think or entertain the thought that somehow Satan and Christ Jesus is somehow on a parity. You know what I mean by a parity? Equal. You can send $7.50 to the Secretary of Defense of the United States, and he'll mail you back a Soviet U.S. parity chart. And it's really fun. You know, you put it up on your wall, and it's got all of their bombers versus all of our bombers, all of their tanks and all of our tanks, and their hand grenades, and it's got them all lined up. And you see how close the enemy is to us. Well, the title, "Between Christ and Satan," is a bad title because there is no parity whatsoever. Remember this in your warfare with the enemy. Satan is a created creature, just like you and I. He was created according to Colossians and other portions of Scripture by Jesus Christ himself. Satan is subservient. Satan must bow. Satan will ultimately bow before everyone and confess with his mouth that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But there are certain things that God in his infinite wisdom allows Satan to do. Example, Satan has the presence, the availability to make his presence known before God. He can come in right in before God, and it blows my mind. I do not know why. I do know this, a little bit about the nature of God. If God is allowing Satan to come before his presence, and the Bible tells us that he accuses the brethren day and night in the book of Revelation, that Satan is allowed to do this, I think, ultimately for the glory of Jesus Christ himself and of the Father. But he, nonetheless, he's there. He trips in and he trips out. He's on his little tour. He comes in and lays the spiel out on you. "Hey, Lord, did you see what Job did today? Did you see what Bonnie did today and Jack did today?" And he's got all of these accusations. And the Father, I'm sure, just sits there and goes, But there's coming a day when Jesus Christ will stand up for me and you as advocate on judgment. It's going to be a wonderful time because we will be scot-free because our Redeemer is the Son of the Father who happens to be sitting behind that bench, and it's going to be a good deal. And I like that kind of stuff. Makes me excited. But the very fact of the matter, Paul's warning to us, there is no parity. We are to take the whole armor of God. We must be ready to fight. And to fight what? What's he doing here? He's telling us to put on all this battle gear. And here we stand now. Each week we have something new on our bodies to fight. And where's the enemy? And we're going to be discussing that tonight, this business about the shield of faith and fiery darts. And I hope it will bless your heart. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, our strength and our Redeemer, Father, we ask that you would reveal to us, Father, information. That you, Lord, by the power of your wonderful Spirit, would grant to us, Lord, a briefing from command control tonight. Lord, that you would reveal to us the intelligence of the enemy. God, that we would pick up and be wise concerning his signals and his messages, that we would quickly cut him off. For we know that this is your will. In Jesus' name, amen. The first prerequisite as a believer, as a soldier, is commitment. We absolutely must be committed to the cause. And that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. We don't want to hear about that stuff. We want to hear about an easy way. Jesus says, man, get committed. If you don't get committed to Jesus, you're going to get committed to the world and you're going to run around and get all drugged out and hung out and freaked out and wind up in some loony bin anyway, and you're going to get committed anyhow. So Jesus says, man, get committed. Just step on in to the battle zone. I'm giving you all the battle attire you need. But it's going to take a commitment. And I don't think anybody in this room can say this, but a lot of people say, man, Christianity, it's cool. There's nothing. Man, there's no big deal. It's easy. And they're just tripping on their way, doing their own things. It's just a breeze. But the very fact of the matter is they probably never made a real strong commitment to draw any enemy fire. And what I mean by that is if you send some planes into Baghdad, you're going to draw fire. They're going to be shooting at you. But the guy in his helicopter playing off the coast, you know, looking for, you know, seals with oil on him, he's not going to get shot at. The more you get into enemy territory, the more rounds you're going to receive. The Bible tells us that greater is he that's in us, the Holy Spirit, than he that's in the world. Hey, when we go to battle, we've got the best. And the good news is, as we go into battle, the enemy is shooting weaponry that we have the ability to quench. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. We must trust the Lord, yield it to him, commit it to him, and if we're that way, we will draw fire. We will be attacked. And so, you know, you see bumper stickers now. This Scud's for you, and it's got a picture of Saddam Hussein on there. Satan's got the same war plan. He's launching Scuds at you. Fiery darts. So how do we deal with it? Before we deal with the darts and the things that's revealed in Scripture, let's first look at our wonderful battle gear. First of all, the Roman soldier had two different types of shields. He had a shield that looked like a pizza. Pepperoni, probably. It's round. It's about 2.5 feet to 3 feet in diameter, and it was for close battle. Because it would be strapped to his forearm, and he would begin to hit and then stab, and the guy would begin to come back at him. He would take it, and they would really wheel that thing around, and it was a brutal piece of equipment. And it was made out of sometimes metal. It was made sometimes out of a type of branch that was woven together very tightly and then wrapped in skins. But it was a very strong piece, but it was very lightweight. And that is not the shield we're talking about tonight. The shield of faith that Paul is talking about here, the word that he uses, is the shield that the Roman guard would use, the soldiers would use, when they are going to battle, when it is a planned, strategic battle that they're about to engage. Are you with me? One is light. One is immediate. Grab it and start to use it. Wham! And you got your enemy down, and you're there. This one is after planning, after briefing, after preparation. The men are all dressed in their gear. And then they are handed these shields. Those shields are about 2.5 feet wide and 4 feet high. That's a big shield. And they're made out of a metal, and again, there are some out of a very thick woven type of material. Very heavy, very strong. Listen to this. As they would begin to advance, do you know what they did? They would take their shields and they would get next to their buddy. Remember last week we talked about being encompassed about with each other, fighting? No time to look at our brother's faults, fault finders, sin sniffers. Right? No time for that. We're one-to-one. We're together. We're fighting. Now, this is where it applies. They would take that shield and they would get next to their fellow soldier, and they had these hooks and they would get linked together and they would make like a bulldozer front end, and they would begin to march along. And as the darts began to fly, as the archers would draw back and shoot, those guys could, what they would do is they would set that shield down into the earth, slightly tilted, and they would go like this. They would duck, and it would just deflect, like that, right off. And it's a slick thing. And Paul knew exactly what he was talking about. He said, man, we're in a battle. Let's get together. Let's link up, and let's go to fight. And there's a way that we use this armament. And the good news is that it is strong. And look what it says here. It says that taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, all of them, every single one of them, every one that Satan perpetrates against you. The Bible, now look, is it the word of God or is it not the word of God? It says that we have the ability to withstand all the attacks. Then why are we falling? Why do we trip up so much? Why are we so led about by temptation and gossip and all the other things that come in and attack us? Because we let our guard down. That's why the Bible encourages us to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the light, so that your guard will be up. I'm getting ahead of myself. This shield of faith, listen, Romans 10:17. I love this verse. It was the first verse it was the second verse I ever memorized as a believer. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not AC/DC or George Michaels or Robbie Duke or anybody, hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we begin to dig deep into the word of God, we begin to be able to have a shield that is worth getting behind. As we're schooled in the word, as our faith is increasing, we are able to quench all of the fiery darts by the wicked one that is launched. Now check this out. We had better get full of faith, filled up to overflowing with our faith, because here's what's happening. The Roman enemies would take this apparatus. It looked a lot like a guillotine frame. You know that bizarre-looking thing, very rectangular in shape? They would take these ropes, and they would fasten them together, and then there would be a guy that began to twist the ropes and make it very tight. You know, you guys, remember with our little airplanes you'd get at Thrifty's? And you wind those things up, you know, and you try to knot the rubber band as much as you could. And then as soon as you let go of that rubber band, remember that baby would zing? And you just let go and the thing would just fly off. Remember that? You don't? I did it like last weekend. I love that kind of stuff. And so the same thing. They would take this rope and they would knot it up. And they had a really incredible device. They would take arrows, darts, and they would dip them in what's called pitch. And they would wrap, first they would wrap the tips, just back from the tips, about 6 inches back from the tips of those arrows. They would wrap them with cloth, they would dip them in pitch, they would light them on fire, and they put them inside this thing that looks a lot like, you know, a soldier or an Indian's quiver, you know, that pouchy thing. They would put these things in there, flaming. Okay? And they would let that thing go. And that thing would just go wham. And those things would just go out there, and the weight, remember the pitch is on the tip? The weight is on the tip, so it's coming in like this and it's flaming. Now, if you've got a metal shield, that's okay, because you just get behind that shield and hope you don't get hit. But what happens when it hits your shield, it would splatter, and you had to get it off your skin. It's very sticky. It's like, you know, modern day napalm, I guess. Really. Now, if you had one of the shields that were woven, you could get in trouble. Okay? But listen to this. I was so excited to find this out. Really got me all fired up. The word for darts is belos. B-E-L-O-S in the Greek. Big deal. It's a big deal. Because you know what it's translated in the English? Oh, you're going to love this. Missiles. Don't you think that's great? Missiles. When Satan launches missiles at you, not just a dart. Didn't you in your mind before we started have this little dart in your head? Oh, big deal. Missiles. Scuds. Big things coming in. Jesus says, that's okay, man, you got the shield of faith. You can quench all those things. Belos, missiles. Wow, I like that. You guys aren't even excited about that. I thought that was great. It gave me a lot of hope. I feel more confident in my battles now. You know, I don't want to get too comfortable in that. You know, I was thinking, well, come on, enemy, is that all you can do? Missiles, send a missile, shield of faith. I can quench them all. Faith, it's a gift. God gives us faith. As we study in his word, we get strong. We've got our feet ready. Man, we're ready to go. We've got this macho, wonderful battle, faith, this shield, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now listen. What are these missiles? I can only tell you from personal experience. That's the best way I can tell you, I guess. Maybe you can relate. Missiles for me, my missiles seem to come in the night. Physical night or in the night of my soul. When I'm maybe not walking close with the Lord, I kind of get too busy to spend time in prayer before I start my day, and I get up late and I run away. You know, like Jonah, to work. And I get weak. Satan then begins to, this is for me now, it may be totally different for you, but the enemy begins to play with me, with these darts and these missiles, with my thoughts. I'll even be in prayer. Oh Lord, how wonderful, God. It's beautiful to be with you, Father. I love you. And then this horrible thought enters my mind. Wow, what is that? And I begin to fight and push that thing out of my mind. And I begin to pray, and I'm just, Lord, and I'm right in the Holy of Holies in heaven. And comes this rotten thought. Oh, Lord. Oh, and you know what the enemy is doing? Now, your fiery darts may be telephone rings, calls that get you off your knees or off your commitment to the Lord. It could be, for me, so often, when I go to prayer, I get attacked in my head. Now, my pastor, Chuck, says that he capitalizes on the enemy's attacks because not only will he use things that are just gross like that, he'll also say, Chuck, you didn't change the oil in your car today. Oh, yeah, well, that's real important right now, but thanks for reminding me. And he writes it down on a piece of paper. I like that. He uses the enemy to remind him of what he needs to do. Chuck, you know, this and that and the other thing. I like that. But I'll be in prayer. I'll be right before the Lord. Maybe you are too. And all of a sudden this stupid thought comes in. What is this? And you wrestle it. You know what I mean by wrestling it away? And you get that thing out of your mind and begin to pray again. And wham! Oh, no. And you know what happens? Satan's motive for doing that. He just goes, sticks it in the fire, right into your head. Doggone it. Oh, Lord, I'm such a rotten Christian. I can't even pray right, God. I'll just come back later when I have my act together. And Satan goes, got him. Got him right in the between the eyes. I got him. He stopped praying. Satan goes, yeah. And he goes to the chalkboard and he racks up another point. Listen, I got good news. The next time you're praying and you get attacked with these bizarro thoughts, I mean, he'll hit you with these thoughts and then he'll say, how can you be a Christian and think these kind of thoughts? And you'll go, yeah, you know what? I think you're right. Boy, are you wrong. Listen, he does it. He does it to the best of them. Remember when Peter, Jesus, at the great time of temptation and trial for Jesus, he's going to go to the garden. He says, hey, the three of you, come with me. There's Peter out there walking around. Yeah, here we go. And Jesus says, pray with me just a little bit. Won't you guys just pray with me? And what do? You know, here's Peter. Jesus says, pray. Remember? Pray that you enter not into temptation. And then Jesus goes on a little further, falls on his face, and Jesus' prayer probably got interrupted with snow. Those guys, sawn logs, sleeping away. Jesus walks back. Hey, come on, pray, let's go. Three times. Jesus comes back and he goes, oh, sleep on. You guys, surely, truly, truly, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Those guys were probably exhausted. And maybe the enemy uses that against you too. Again, I quote my pastor, who says that when he's extremely tired, he'll make certain to spend time in prayer more. Because he says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I tell you, that takes discipline, you guys. That takes a commitment. But when you get shot out of the sky a couple of times and get bloody, it's worth the pain. And so the very fact of the matter is, when you go to prayer, hang in there. Take that shield of faith and prop that baby up there in prayer. And as the enemy attacks you in prayer time, fight him off. Hey, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke this thought. Lord, get this thought out of my mind right now. And I'm not going to stop praying. And if it continues to come back like it does with me, I'll get mad. And I'll just say, that's it. And I'll sit there, or I'll lay there, and I'll begin to say, holy, holy. I'll sing a song. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. How great thou art. I'll begin to sing a song of spiritual praise to the Lord. And he's gone. He hates it. The enemy hates that. You know why? That may sound very simple to you. If you have enough gut to say, I'm not going to quit, I'm going to sing a hymn, I'm going to drive this guy from me. As you sing that song of worship, do you know what you're doing? You're taking your shield of faith, because it takes faith to sing that song, and you just go boom, to the enemy. Take these darts out of here now, and you'll stand in faith. Hey, it works. Try it. You'll like it. It really, really works. Because if you're like me, you'll get down there, and so often the enemy will begin to flood your head with thoughts and with things, and you'll get discouraged. I ought to just quit. I ought to just give up. I was listening to a pastor today talk. Bless my heart. Honey, don't you think we ought to go into the ministry? Oh, yes, baby doll. It'd be grand. Oh, sweetie, this would be wonderful. And they're just bipping along. Great, things are great, and they make the commitment. Start a little Bible study fellowship, begins to grow. Oh, this is grand. It grows. Hey, we want a church, the people said. Cool, great. What do you think, honey? Sounds good to me, sweetie. And away they go. And then it comes, boy, this is personal. I'm not kidding, I heard this today. This is real close to home. Then the guy goes, hey, these people want a pastor now. Well, wait a minute. Better count the cost. Counts the cost. Talks it over with his wife. She says, go for it. Great. Everything's great. He's all gung-ho. He's about ready to give his notice to his job. And he's on his face in prayer. And all of a sudden, thoughts come to his mind. What are you doing? How are you going to provide for your family? What if this thing flops? Who do you think you are anyway? Your wife is pregnant. You just bought a new house. You just bought a new car. You're going to lose your car. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your kid. Your wife. You'll lose your name. It'll fail. You'll be a joke. They'll laugh at you everywhere they go. And this guy's telling this. And I'm going, that sounds just like me. That sounds just like me. And I was so encouraged. And he came home and he said, honey, I think we're making a big mistake. He had his shield down all day long. And he got shot in the head. And he got shot in the throat. And in the heart. And in the shoulders. And he came home and he was bleeding all over the place. With depression. Honey, this is not right, he said. We've made a terrible mistake. And she said, why don't you just shut up and sit down? God has provided this far. He's going to provide the rest of the way. And he just said, thanks, I needed that. She had her faith, her shield of faith up. He had his down. And praise God, I know that's how it works in my home. Because every time Lisa has hers down, I have mine up. No, it's the other way around. I'll have arrows sticking out of my head. Honey, I think we ought to quit now. What's happening in my life and how it parallels this guy, and it just blew my mind. That was the Lord speaking to me. But he'll attack you in your thoughts in prayer time with what? Envy? Pride? Lust? Things that just drive you buggy? Things that may drive me insane that would never bother you. So he uses other things on you, does he not? Maybe it's a relationship or a has-been relationship. Weird things to attack you to get you to give up. But when you take that shield of faith and you stand there and you hold it up, listen to the promise, people, to the word of God tonight. The promise is you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts. Do you believe that or do you not believe it? That is where the rubber meets the road. I cannot talk tonight. That's where it makes all the difference in the world. I saw a long time ago this woman at the beach. And I don't know what was, you get wet and you go lay back down, I guess, is what I wanted her to learn or think about. But this woman stood there, and she's standing there, and this wave hit her, and the next thing you saw was these legs like this. And she'd get back up, and she's standing there, and then wham, and you see this thing tumbling in the surf. And she'd get back up, and I'm like going, that lady, like, I don't know what's going on here. And wham, and it's terrible. This one huge wave came in and just took her clothes right off. I mean, this wave hit her and her clothes. And I thought, well, you know, she deserves everything she gets. I mean, I wouldn't even go out there. And she's going wham, and wham, and she kept getting up. For what? To get your clothes ripped off? Hey, we've got something worth fighting for. We've got this shield up, the waves are coming, the arrows are coming, we're getting hit from every side, we've got that thing down, and all of a sudden, you know, we'll look over to see how Betty's doing, or how Bobby's doing, or Billy Joe, or whatever, and we get hit when we need to be interlinked one with another, fighting that war. For those of you who are married, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you cannot fight a decent fight without both of you having your shield up in the home. And there's nothing worse than for you to raise your shield against an attack of the enemy and then to have a spouse come in and say, oh, it's okay, kids. You don't have to worry about what mommy's saying or what daddy's saying. And that really undermines everything. Man, you got to get united in this stuff. You got to be strong. You got to have your shield up. Now, the attacks will come verbally. We looked at that before, but if you're taking notes, why don't you write this down? James chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. James says that our tongues can set on fire the course of nature. I mean, look what a little fire begins to kindle, a huge forest fire through our tongues, James says. We had better be careful. And you know, people, Christians stand up and they let their tongue, they open up this garage door and out flops this tongue. And boom, and it begins to whip people. And James says, man, I mean, you're going to get somebody, you give them whiplash with that thing. Put it away. He says, man, we can put a rudder on a huge ship and steer that baby all through the sea, and then somebody sticks their tongue out and messes up the whole thing. You can grab a horse, it says, and put a bridle and bit on the horse and begin to ride and lead this beautiful, massive, powerful beast anywhere you want with this little piece of metal. And here somebody says, well, do you know what? And out comes this thing, and it destroys people. It sets on fire the course of hell, the tongue. Dangerous things. We let our guard down with our tongue. We let our guard down by letting Satan overrule us while we're in prayer, while we're doing about our things for the Lord with thoughts. And we shouldn't do that. Now, Jesus Christ promises us victory. You can write this down, Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid. I am your shield, and I am exceedingly your great, great reward. I'm your shield. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I will be helped. Therefore, my heart will greatly rejoice with songs of praise. You got that? The psalmist is in trouble right now. He says, the Lord is my shield, and I'm going to sing a song. You got that? Are you getting this? Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is my, I can't see that, sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Isn't that good news? Psalm 91:4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Isn't that good news? That's another word for girdle. Isn't that great? The Lord's promised us these victories by taking that shield of faith. So how does it work? We mentioned earlier, get your shield of faith. Study the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. Now you've got your shield. How do you use it? It's got to be active. Remember, these shields were imparted to the soldiers as an advancing army. They had it. The attack would come. They would take steps forward, plant again. An attack would come. They would go on. Ever advancing, ever conquering for the Lord. And what about your Christian experience? What about mine? Where are you tonight versus last year? Think. What about 2 years ago? What about 5 years ago? I look around this room and I see a lot of new converts, and I praise the Lord for that. Isn't that neat what's going on in your mind right now? But where were you last year? We need to have our shields up and fighting. Now look, if you were somewhere naughty last year, don't let the enemy right now speak to you and say, see? You don't belong here. And see, right now, you take your shield up and you go, away, away, right now. The Lord has promised us this shield for battle. It is given to us. We are to walk in the Spirit. How do we do that? How do we make sure our shield is working and we're walking in the Spirit? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine. Don't go boozing it up, because it's just going to leak out. That's what the Bible says. It's going to drip. You're going to turn into a drip. Don't be drunk with wine. It's not going to do it. But be ye therefore continually, over and over again in the Greek, forever and ever filled up with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit. That's the key. Not once. Don't ever think that that verse means just one time. Well, I accepted the Lord back in 49. No, it's continually filled up. You have to ask. It's a commandment. Fill me, Lord, today with your Spirit. Take that shield. Instead of that briefcase, instead of that purse in the morning, you grab that shield, you grab that sword, you got your girdle on, guys and girls. You got your feet ready. And you're going forward, and you're able to fight. You are able to war. You've got this beautiful, beautiful shield. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, starting at verse 1. This is your armor in action. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, or certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Do you believe that? Therefore, we are buried with him. Isn't that, is so good news. Through the baptism into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Do you believe that? For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified. Does that say was crucified or shall be crucified? Was. Past tense. Your old life is DOA. The old person you were is dead. Well, then why do I have these thoughts? Because you need to take your shield up. You're going to have those thoughts to the day you die. Take that shield and quench those darts. Don't get bummed and wigged out when the enemy comes and discourages you. Yeah, but I blew it last week. You don't know what I did. Take your shield up. Get behind it and fight. Let's keep going. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to our old life, really. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. That's a truth. Death no more has dominion over him. For the death that he died once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon, determine, draw the bottom line and say, yes, it's true. Yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and its lust. Isn't that great news? Listen, finally, and do not present your members. You see that word members? That word can also be translated weapons. Do not let your weapons be yielded as instruments. I'm sorry, it's instruments that is defined as weapons, of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as weapons of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You are free. I don't care what your thoughts tell you about your old life. I don't care what you're arguing with right now in your mind about how you blew it, and boy, I don't know if God would ever have me, and I'm a bad Christian. You take up that shield every day. And when you get too tired to hold it, just let it fall on top of you and lay underneath it for a while. like I do. Just get down there and just, oh, God, cover me. I'm too weak to even hold it up. And God goes, man, I know. It's okay. You're covered. I got you. Man, I tell you, when will Satan attack? He'll attack when you think you're strong. Yeah, things are really going well. Boy, I haven't prayed this much in all my life. And all the time you're thinking that, Satan's going, a little bit of pride here, bink. You know, a little bit of here, and he begins to pump this stuff into your head. Or maybe, you know, the old proverb comes true, pride comes before a fall, and the Lord says, man, that guy's head's getting so big, he can't even get into the baptismal, you know, or whatever it is. And God goes, psst, and your head gets down to size again, and through a trial or through something, so you can think straight. And I tell you, personally, I've never experienced so many blessings in the last 6 or 8 months than I have in all my walk as I have in these last 8 months. But I have to tell you, some of you are going to understand this and some of you will not. I have never felt more weak. I have never felt more frail. I have never been more vulnerable, because the attacks of the enemy have never been more tricky. And the most incredible things, at least, and I've been experiencing lately, is that the enemy comes in through a very good, beautiful thing on the appearance wise. You know what I mean? Oh, boy, he looks like a nice guy. Open the door. Come on in. And all of a sudden, this thing pops out of the box. And it's like crazy. And so I tell you, the war is never going to end, okay? It won't end until we leave this old carcass here on this earth and get over on the other side, or when Jesus comes back and snags us out of here. But be wise. Satan will use the things that you least expect. So whatever you say in your heart and your mind right now, boy, just the thought of this drives me crazy now. I used to be able to say, that'll never happen. I'll never say that again. Because the things that begin to enter my mind, oh, that'll never happen. Oh, great, now watch what happens. You know what I mean? I'm learning to walk with the Lord. And it's great because the closer I get, the brighter the light and the warmer, you know, and the fuzzier, and it's so great. And all of a sudden I look around and I go, man, where's all this black stuff coming from? I look like, you know, is it Linus with his pillow and his thumb and all the odors are coming off of his blanket and stuff? And God just begins to crank up the light. And oh, man, all this residue is hanging off of Jack. But, you know, I love it. And God wants to do a work with you. And these are the basics. Are you ready for that? The things that Paul's talking about are the basics for us to war this warfare successfully. And so I encourage you, continue in the Word of God. I strongly encourage this. You can go down to any decent bookstore and get the Bible on cassette by Alexander Scorby. I think that's a must. Somehow it's anointed with that guy speaking it. And put that thing in your car and throw all the other tapes away or put them in your house and drive with those things. And I tell you, it's awesome. Your mind will just begin to work like a Bible. And then you'll say, Jack, what's your problem then? I haven't listened to those tapes in years. I need to find them. But I tell you, take that shield of faith and stay behind it strongly, committedly. If your life is just cruising along, enjoy the cruise. But every good cruise must come to an end. You've got to dock sometime. And when you dock, the enemy will be there like these guys in grass skirts, you know, shooting arrows at your boat as it's coming in, you know. And I think if I could just leave something in your mind. Do you remember how we all sat in the theater and watched Indiana Jones get that head, that idol from that temple inside that tomb thing? And he got out, went through all of those trials and tribulations to get that little idol out. Then that big papier-mâché ball was rolling after him. That was a 400-pound papier-mâché ball, I read. Papier-mâché, who cares? 400 pounds is going to kill you anyway. And then you jump out there, and he's got this idol, you know, and he's got all those guys looking at him with their arrows drawn back. All that labor. Hey, if he would have had a sword, a shield, he could have had a better chance for one thing. But remember, the guy holds up the god, that little god, and Indiana heads for the river. He's booking it, and the dust is flying off him, and he's running, and he's getting closer to hope. And he calls for that guy, Reggie, to start the engine up on that beautiful Great Lakes biplane. And what happens? He's running. The arrows are flying, the spears are going. And he jumps into the water and those spears are going after him and he grabs onto that pontoon on that plane and the guy takes that throttle up and out of the way he goes. Great scene, remember that? And there's those arrows floating in the water. Helpless, hopeless little arrows bobbing down the water. And there's Indiana sitting in the cockpit with a serpent in the thing. No. But he's safe. And the enemy's going to shoot at you and you're going to run and hightail it out of there. And that's good you do. But he's never going to stop doing that stuff until you grab hold of that shield and you stand there and you're able. You are able. I don't care who you are. If you are born again in this room tonight, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're going through. This is a promise. You either take it or you suffer. And I pray that you take it. You hold up that shield and you go, I am not going to succumb to this attack anymore. I'm sick of these thoughts. I'm sick of this temptation. Lord, in Jesus' name, give me the strength. I, by faith now, begin to sing this hymn and quote this scripture. And I want to end with this. I've shared this with you guys before, but it's appropriate. I had a severe, and I'm getting into next Sunday's message, so you don't have to come this coming Sunday. I had a severe encounter with a demon-possessed person, and I don't mean, oh, yeah, you think he was. But let me tell you, he was. Textbook, I mean, powerful, weird, heavy manifestations going on. And I want to give you this encouragement. I was very young in the Lord. I was probably born again for probably 9 months when this thing happened. And I mean to tell you, it was a tiger by the tail. It was an awesome thing. And all I know is that I was so covered with the presence of the power of the Lord. I had never felt a presence like that, and I have never felt a presence like that since, of such incredible safety. To make a 3.5-hour story short, this guy who was filled with these things coming out of his eyes and ears and everything came off the ground and came at me at an incredible speed. A human being. And all I can tell you is about maybe 18 inches from my body, he hit a thing that made an incredible sound, and he was on the ground. And I didn't say a thing. I didn't do a thing. I didn't say, oh, God, help me! I just went. No, actually, I did not even, I just went. It happened so fast, I was like, wow. And I can only tell you that, was that a shield? Was that an angel on my defense? All I know, it was supernatural, and it was very powerful. And if you want to, here's the sequel, you have to come Sunday, I guess. But let me tell you something. When I quote to you, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, I've seen it. I have seen it physically, or should I say spiritually. It's pretty awesome when the spiritual world takes on the manifestations of the physical world, and there's no definition between the two. It's one. When that happens, if I were a demon or a devil, I would never go around doing stuff like that, ever, because that does wonders for your faith as a believer. Now, I'm not saying go look for this stuff. Never do that. But if it ever happens, you will see the power of the Word of God quoted that will freak you out and cause you to click your heels and praise the Lord, because he is so, so powerful. And Satan, remember, is subservient to Jesus Christ, always. And everything that comes to you as a believer, if you're a born-again believer, is filtered by God the Father. And that gives me a lot of peace. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice in the fact that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to cut between the bone and the marrow and to divide and to lead us and to guide us. Lord, we do recognize and realize that you have called us to a war. And Father, we ask right now, and I pray for my brothers and sisters here tonight, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would gird us about. Father, that you'd fill us. Lord, that you'd anoint us. If there's anybody, in fact, everybody tonight who knows the Lord, repeat this prayer with me. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, that you are my Savior. I thank you, Father, that you've equipped us. And so, Lord, now, in Jesus' name I ask that you'd fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, remind me that we were in a battle. In Jesus' name, amen.